So, Dr. Perker, if you can review some of the key data around these decisions.
Thank you very much. Just coming back to the last question, I think the audience is well knowledgeable about how to treat these patients in this situation, because the answers that you provided are pretty much all the options that we have, and none of these options has been proven to be the standard option in a phase 3 trial, for example. So let's try to talk about the TKIs against EGFR. You know, these drugs are there for many, many years. There are several drugs that have been studied. First of all, it was gefitinib. Many years ago, you know, the IDEAL trial. Then we had erlotinib, and in the meantime, we have many other TKIs against the EGF receptor. So what were the trials? The first trials were, of course, the IDEAL 1 and IDEAL 2 trials, but there were trials also in combination with chemotherapy. And the interesting thing was that when you add TKIs to first-line chemotherapy, we could not improve the outcome with regard to survival. So then the development was mainly as a single agent and mainly in patients in the second and third line. We had the IDEAL trial, IDEAL 1, IDEAL 2, and what the trials demonstrated was a fast improvement by gefitinib in selected patients. Then, of course, the issue was, can we improve survival also by gefitinib compared to placebo? And the ISL trial suggested that this is possible, but the p-value was 0.08, so there was a trend, but there was no statistically significant improvement in survival. Then we had the INTEREST trial that compared gefitinib with docetaxel. Docetaxel was a standard second-line treatment, and the interesting finding was that we had similar outcome with regard to survival for gefitinib compared to docetaxel. So this trial clearly demonstrated that gefitinib is active in the second line setting. And in the meantime, we had, of course, the erlotinib trials. We had the Canadian trial that demonstrated a survival benefit. And based on this BR21 trial, erlotinib became approved in various countries, also in Europe, but also, I think, in the US. And then erlotinib was also started as a maintenance treatment, and it has shown a survival benefit, but the approval, at least in the European Union, was only for patients with stable disease during first-line chemotherapy. So what people initially realized that there are patients who have fast responses. And with regard to response rates, these were patients with adenocarcinomas, these were females, these were never smokers, and the patients from Southeast Asia. When we looked into survival as the endpoint, it was the never smoking status and the Southeast Asian ethnicity. And the major breakthrough then came when we realized in 2004 that specific mutations are associated with good response to EGFR TKIs. There were deletions in exon 19, and there were specific point mutations in exon 21, L858R. So point mutations in exon 21 and deletions in exon 19 were associated with fast response to TKIs. And based on this, there were trials now in patients who had these mutations and compared TKIs with standard first-line chemotherapy. And besides these trials where patients had to have mutations, there were initial two trials in clinically selected patients. And you all know the IBAS trial by Tony Mock, who selected patients from Asia who had adenocarcinomas and were never smokers or light smokers. And what the trial demonstrated was improvement of progression-free survival in mutation-positive patients with gefitinib compared to standard chemotherapy. In contrast, patients who did not have these mutations, who were mutation-negative, benefited from chemotherapy compared to gefitinib. So there was a clear interaction between the mutation status and the benefit from TKI, and this is a perfect example of a predictive biomarker. What was also important, that the authors could demonstrate in a trial that there was not just an improvement in progression-free survival, there was also an improvement in the quality of life favoring gefitinib, because PFS by itself is a weak endpoint. So if you have PFS improvement, you have to demonstrate some other improvement. And that has been clearly shown in the IPAS trial that there is improvement in quality of life using three different instruments for the assessment of quality of life. Here I am showing you the results for the total study population. If you look into improvement in quality of life dependent on the mutation status, there is a fast improvement and a much greater improvement in the quality of life favoring gefitinib. In the meantime, we have results also with afatinib, a second generation EGFR TKI, and the similar result here, afatinib is superior to a standard chemotherapy, in this case, cisplatin plus pemetrexed in patients who harbor these activating mutations in the tumors. So there's no doubt we have a progress with this TKIs. We have improvement in progression-free survival. We have better quality of life compared to standard chemotherapy. And what also was a major impact, at least in my feeling, was it has extremely stimulated the molecular research in advanced non-small cell lung cancer. And for example, in our hospital now, testing for mutation is a standard. We test all adenocarcinomas, though we don't test all non-small cell lung cancers, but we test all patients who have adenocarcinomas. But there are, of course, some hurdles. One of the hurdles is, why is there no survival benefit? Maybe it's the crossover. Of course, another problem is, as we have mentioned already in the FROMIT panel, we don't cure the patients. So there is a response induced for months, for maybe 1 or 2 years, but usually all people progress and become resistant. So one of the major research areas is what are the resistance mechanisms and what are the strategies to overcome these resistance mechanisms. And another interesting thing came up, whether resist are appropriate for assessment of the efficacy of these drugs. So the issue is how to assess response in these patients. With regard to resistance mechanisms, we have these point mutations in exon 20, T790 mutation, but we have also MET amplification, we have BRAF mutations, we have transition to small cell lung cancer, and we have some other mechanisms that still have to be defined. So what strategies are now there in clinical practice to overcome this resistance? There are trials ongoing with MET inhibitors, MET-MAP, for example, and there are trials with second and third generation TKIs. For example, the second generation TKI, afatinib, was evaluated in a LUX-Lung1 trial in patients who have been pre-treated with TKI and who had at least responded for more than 12 weeks. And another very interesting strategy is to use afatinib plus cetuximab, and in initial trials, patients who were resistant to this TKI have shown a response rate of around 30% when they became resistant to TKI when they were treated by afatinib plus cetuximab. And of course, there are several other approaches. So what are the treatments at the time of progression? We have most probably, if they have not received chemotherapy, I certainly switch to standard chemotherapy, a platinum-based doublet, and then afterwards I might re-challenge with TKI. And there are experimental strategies. We can continue with TKI, we can add chemotherapy to TKI, we can assess afatinib plus cetuximab, and of course there are other strategies. So overall, I think the field is moving, and there's no doubt that these agents have improved the management of advanced non-small cell lung cancer, and I also believe it, they have had a major impact on clinical and translational research. Thank you very much.